Praise 100.9 and 92.7 Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another great show for you this morning. As host of Community Voices, I have an opportunity to interview some really great guests, from community leaders and politicians to movers and shakers in the business world. But nothing gives me more pleasure than to interview local talent that is for greatness and carving out a success story for all to admire. I have a good friend in the studio with me this morning and two great guests all the way from Atlanta to talk about the upcoming stage play, The List. Who am I talking about? Well, that's coming up here on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Joining me this morning is writer, producer, director, Ms. Pechanda DuBose, founder of Mayan Productions. Named after her two children, Maya and Man, Pechanda's Mayan's production helps spread messages of positivity and encouragement with a distinct brand of edutainment. Mayan Productions deals with a host of difficult issues such as domestic violence, drug awareness, negative peer influence, and the Christian faith. Mayan Productions also showcases both local and nationally renowned performers to bring its message to the stage. And this morning, Pechanda is here to talk about her latest stage production, The List, which is scheduled to debut at the Arts Council Theater in Winston-Salem on August 23rd. And of course, she is taking The List on a tour. And I should add, Pechanda is a great friend. Also joining me via telephone from the ATL is vocalist, producer, actor extraordinaire, Mr. Tony Hightower. Mr. Hightower is a native of Atlanta and has worked with great talents and groups such as Outkast, Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, Lionel Richie, and many others. He was featured on The Monique Show, 2013 Trumpet Awards, and appeared alongside Kiki Wyatt on TV One's R&B Divas. Tony also enjoyed working with Mr. Tyler Perry and was featured in several roles, including Perry's stage play, I Don't Want to Do Wrong. Also joining me via telephone from Atlanta later in the show will be writer, director, and rising star in the highly competitive entertainment scene, Mr. Jason Carey. Jason has a hit web series and is an accomplished recording artist and was named 2013 Atlanta's Hottest Host and the Southeast Most Sought After Personalities. And Pechanda, Tony, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
What's up,
Ron? Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. I am excited to have you, first of all, on the phone. And it's an interesting thing when we do an interview on the phone, you never know what's going to happen. So this should be quite interesting.
Right.
Absolutely. And Pechanda is with us and she is looking lovely as always. And I'm so glad that she is here.
Thank you, Ron.
So how you doing, Pechanda?
I am wonderful.
Now, you know, this is like your fifth, sixth, seventh time here.
Right.
Do you want to be called Pechanda or Peaches?
Peaches.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Peaches. I just want to make sure. Because, you know, peaches sound provocative.
Well.
Now, you have quite a few things going on in your life. Before we even get to the list, mm-hmm. I want to talk about Charlotte. Because ultimately, you're going to be leaving us. And yes. I'm a little, I'm sad about that. But let's talk a little bit about Charlotte. Mm-hmm. It's performing arts. It's culture. All the things that you are quite familiar with here in the city. Talk a little bit about the various venues that opened up for you so that you can get started.
Well, Charlotte has been indeed a blessing to me. I had relocated here previously to going back to Winston-Salem. Mm-hmm. The reason I came to Charlotte was because of the opportunities, because of the mindset of the people here. The Peace Auditorium was where I debuted The Devil Thought He Had Me, my real life story. Mm-hmm, It was a great experience. I just love the atmosphere, overall artsy type vibe that Charlotte brings. It's just a really dope city.
Yeah,
I love it here.
The nightlife is incredible here.
It's off the chain. It really is.
But so
I've had a good time.
Yeah, and don't start crying on me because I know you're going to...
I won't.
How helpful has places like the Blumenthal mm-hmm. and these other other venues, how helpful have they been?
Well, they've been helpful for one specific reason, because of their reputation and because of the history. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you make an announcement that you're going to have a production there, you know, it's familiar. You know, it has a reputation for just stellar production. So just its reputation alone, it did very well for me.
Yeah. Tony, before we got you on the phone, Peaches was, we were joking in the studio because she has some very provocative plays. I mean, very, very provocative. In fact, the kind of plays where children can't come.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So my question to you is, you're playing Tony in the play. Talk a little bit about your experience and your relationship with Peaches.
Well, you know what? Our relationship is a new one. Mm-hmm. This will be our first time working together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we met by way of email, if I'm not mistaken, Peaches, right?
That's correct.
Yes, we met mm-hmm. by way of email, mm-hmm. and we talked. She told me about the production she was doing and where she wanted to take things and her, kind of a little bit of her story. And I was like, man, this would be a great situation. You know, so that we don't know each other that well yet, mm-hmm. but in knowing her, all the things that I know already, she's a stand-up woman. I've seen certain things that she's done. You know, I looked at different clips and pulled up different, you know, things just to kind of see what I was getting into.
I didn't know
and,
that.
And it looks like it's going to be something great. I mean, I done the stuff with Tyler Perry, and that's how he started, you know, mm-hmm. doing exactly what she's doing. And now he's this big mogul, and mm-hmm. she's on her way. And I'm glad to be along for the ride.
Well, absolutely. You should know that Peaches is like honey, to be honest with you. In fact, just a few minutes ago before we came on the air, we had Jermaine Hopkins, and he is from Lean On Me, the gentleman that plays Sam's.
Yes.
And so they connected. So she attracts the kind of stardom that you obviously provide.
Well, we shouldn't of trying. I'm glad she thought me worthy.
Absolutely. You should see that. You'll see that photo on her Facebook real soon. Well, Tony, talk a little bit about what you do in terms of preparing your character and preparing yourself for the kind of role that you're playing.
Okay. In this case, like Tony, well, I am Tony, but in Tony in the play, I just have to, in this situation, I'm figuring out way to humble, like be way meek, humble. He seems like that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's not that attracted to Kim. You know, mm-hmm. He's not boisterous, not flamboyant. Not well off yet. So I'm thinking of ways, you know, because I would like to think that I am fabulous and I am fly.
Right.
No, I'm being silly. But looking at ways to make myself as meager and as meek as possible to portray this character, and just kind of jump in, man. I'm just reading my script every day because I don't know if you really know the situation. Right now, I'm in and out of town, so I haven't actually been able to physically be in rehearsals yet. So I'm having to do all my preparing so that when I do get there, that I'm as prepared as possible. She doesn't have to reprimand me, and you tell me where to go, and we go, you know?
And if I might add to that, I have 100% confident that he can come 3 days before the show and nail it. He is yet to rehearse with us yet.
Well, see, that's what you call star quality.
Yeah, that's right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm 100% certain that he's going to be able to nail it.
Now, Peaches, take us into the list. Tell us what it's about. Mm. Tell us the gist of it. Because, again, you are usually doing something very provocative.
Yeah.
And I probably will suggest to the audience that there is no exception to this one as well.
Nope, no exception at all.
Go ahead.
Don't bring your children. There is adult content. It's not vulgar. It's not vulgar. It's not a lot of profanity, but mm-hmm. there is some because these are real life situations.
Right.
And when I say that, it's on a relationship tip. Some mm-hmm. some things that people tend to experience that are less pleasant.
Yeah.
In terms of medical situations and things that can have you ended up in an emergency room,
yeah.
so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the list is about a young, successful black woman who has this perception of the ideal man she wants in her life,
mm-hmm.
and she has these unrealistic expectations, and she really won't give ear to anything but what's on this list, which is why she rejects Tony's character in the play, because mm-hmm. he doesn't fit the list.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
ultimately, her decision, she lives to regret it.
Now, how many cast members do you have?
We have 9 cast members, well, 8 cast members and 1 understudy.
Now, what's the impetus behind the list? Is there a backstory that inspired you to write and start producing it?
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about
that. I was on the phone with a really good friend of mine. She's also my travel agent. She she helps me prepare the cruise every year, the Playwrights Ball.
Yeah.
You're going to get there, Ron.
I missed last year. You're going to
get there. You're going to get there.
I want to go next year.
Okay. All right, Tony, don't play. Oh, she's a good friend of mine, and she we were on the phone and we were talking about some mutual people we knew, and they were complaining, I'm not married, I want to be married. They're Christian women, they want to live right and they want to be married. And she was like, well, I guarantee you they've already met their husband, but they have this list. And she said they still view themselves as if they were 23 years old. But here, these women are in their mid-40s, early to mid-40s, and they still feel like they're, you know, the cat's meow, so to speak. So they have this unrealistic list, and they probably overlooked the one they should have given a chance to begin with.
Right.
So it was inspired from that conversation. We were on the phone about 3 hours that night. And she said, girl, you should write a play about this. And I did.
Yeah. Now, talk a little bit about unrealistic expectations women have of men. What do you suppose that these women are coming into relationships with? What is that unrealistic expectation?
A lot of them don't want men to have children. When you get in your late 30s, 40s, you know, it's rare to find a man who does not have children. They want him to be rich, well off. And well, the reality is the average man is a working man.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have that 6-figure income, but he's still a man.
Right.
You know, and, you know, they want him to look gorgeous. They want him to be Denzel type, Tony Hightower quality.
Hey, I'm playing Tony, so I can't be.
Right. Yeah. So they you know, those unrealistic expectations tend to harm them in the end.
Is this something that is inculcated in women? Is society responsible for inculcating this kind of characteristic or behavior in women?
That's such an awesome question. The answer is yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Excuse me, chiming in. I agree with that from both sides. From you know, how women see men and how men see women. You know, we have this unrealistic view. So I'm done.
Is it fair to the man in the relationship that these unrealistic expectations are foisted on the man? Is it fair to him?
No, it's not. It's not. It's not fair.
Elaborate on that.
Well, because it's unrealistic. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of men are made to feel less than men because they don't fit this particular list. And it like Tony said, it goes both ways. There's unrealistic expectations on women, too. Some men are shallow. They have, you know, a certain body weight they want, a certain income bracket they want their woman to be in. Some men don't want women with children. So, like Tony said, which was an interesting flip, it goes both ways.
Yeah. Now, Tony, as the play is unfolding, what will the audience see and appreciate about your character?
I think they will see somebody that's driven and focused. The man, like you say, an average man, you know, unless you are extremely wealthy or extremely gorgeous or whatnot, you're kind of overlooked. And I think this, you know, will shine light on the average Joe. You know what I'm saying? For lack of a better word. But it shines light on it, and it shows how strong and how relevant those men are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Now, Tony, what attracted you to this particular role? Because I know that there are a bevy of other roles that you can play, but what was it about this script in this role that said, yes, I have to do this?
Well, you know, it's a good message. I'm down for anything that have great messages. I mean, you know, it's a good story. It's a real story. It's relevant. And seems like it'll be a good situation. So, I mean, that's it in a nutshell.
Peaches, what I find compelling about the storyline is the juxtaposition it has with the notion that women who claim they don't need a man, but then, of course, there is this unrealistic expectation that they have. And then, of course, we have reality TV eroding the perception of men and women. So talk a little bit about, again, why women should not have these unrealistic expectations.
Because they ultimately set themselves up for disappointment. And those situations end up hurting everybody involved.
Yeah.
Because you put a certain amount of pressure on the other person you're involved with to to try to live up to a standard that they can't.
Yeah. Do you personally identify with any of the characters?
Yes,
Talk a little bit about that.
On both sides, I do.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, when I was younger, in my early 20s, I had this unrealistic list, and that's the reason why I was so inspired by the conversation, because my mindset is so different now, being in my early 40s.
You're in your 40s?
Yes, sir.
You look like you in your 30s.
No, I just turned 40.
You got blessed genes.
Yes, I do. Like the old folks say, I don't look like what I've been through.
Let the congregation say amen.
So, yes, I could definitely relate to Kim's character. I have absolutely overlooked several that I should have given a chance to in my young, dumb days.
Talk a little bit about the challenges of putting together this kind of production. You've put on several productions, and one of the interesting things about you is that you have incredible energy, but it requires the energy to put something like this together, and you're traveling back and forth from where you are in Winston-Salem to down to Atlanta. And so talk a little bit about the challenges that you have.
Money.
Well, see, interestingly,
because when you want the best, i.e. Tony Hightower, his mother, Teresa Hightower, and several of the other artists, when you want the best possible, it comes along with a tremendous amount of sacrifice.
Yeah.
And because I'm so passionate about this story, I wanted it portrayed a certain way in excellence. So, you know, it takes a lot of level of faith, finances, and, you know, a lot of sacrifice.
Those are
the challenges.
Yeah. Now, when you are in a city such as Charlotte, and of course, we know that you are leaving Charlotte.
Yes.
But when you establish yourself in a city like Charlotte, is it very difficult to break through that front door so that people can see the talent, the wealth of talent that you obviously have?
Is it difficult?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Especially when you're... for lack of better words, unknown.
Yeah.
Because I love and I adore Mr. Perry. I really do. But people seem to think that he's the only one who does it. So you have that challenge, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure Tony understands that.
And it's obviously not fair to you.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So it's and then being a woman too is a challenge as well. That's a whole nother story, but that's another challenge within itself as well.
And Tony, obviously you have to compete with other folks who are actually doing what you're doing. Talk a little bit about the challenges you face in order for you to rise to that level where you're noticed.
This business we're in is a dog eat dog business, I figure if you do the work, you stay focused, you'll get where you want to be.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for the things that I've done, you know, and that was by me doing the work. I trust God. I take my hands off, do the work. You know, I got introduced to Mr. Perry, you know, along the way, and all the things that I've done before that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, there are challenges all the time. But, you know, if you do the work and you stay focused on what you're doing and give it 100%, then you're going to shine. Mm-hmm. You know, and yes, you know, it's tough, but with Peaches doing what she's doing, the world's gonna know her name just like they know his.
Absolutely. Peaches, if you had the ear of the movers and shakers of the cultural and artistic gatekeepers that are relevant here in the city, what would your message be to them?
Just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Keep going, keep believing, and just remain consistent. Consistency is the formula for anybody who becomes successful, because you can't reach success if you quit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about the movers and shakers? Because ultimately, they are the gatekeepers to being able to put on a play in a particular venue. But if you had their ear, what would you say to them?
Well,
open the damn door. I'm being facetious. Go ahead.
Let me in. Nelly said, let me in.
Yeah.
Let me in. I would basically just lead them to my website, you know, Google me, whatever, just to see. Sometimes you just have to show people better you can tell them.
Right.
And sometimes just putting it in front of them, you know, will open their eyes to something that you can't verbally say.
Yeah. Now, if you had the ear of the movers and shakers in the theater industry, is there a message that you would like to give to them? Because again, as you've indicated, Tyler Perry seems to be the standard number one, but people have the perception that he's the only one.
Only one.
So if you had the ear of the industry leaders, what would you say to them?
Let me in.
Just let me in.
Just let me in.
Yeah.
Just give me about 5 minutes to show you who I am and what I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, we're going to let you go because we have a gentleman that we're going to bring on, Jason Carey, and it was certainly a pleasure speaking with
you,
man.
Thank you, Tony.
It was a pleasure talking with you all, and look, hopefully I get a chance to meet you, brother, and I'm looking forward to it. Let's go.
All right. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, Tony.
All right.
All right. Bye, peaches.
Bye-bye.
Hello? Is this Jason Carey?
This is Jason Carey.
Hey, Jason, this is Ron
Jason.
Holland of Praise 100.9, 92.7 in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I am sitting here with Pete Chanda DuBose. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. We just hung up with Tony Hightower, one of your cast members or fellow cast members, and so now we're bringing you into the discussion. Now, I understand that you are an understudy, and one of the things that I shared with Peaches was I didn't know what understudy meant, was whether it was an understudy in the play or an understudy altogether, or you an understudy for doing something very interesting in the play.
I'm an understudy in the play.
Okay.
Understudy. I'm an overstudy otherwise.
Oh, okay. Okay. hey, listen, tell us a little bit about your character. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
The funny thing is I'm understudying for Tony's role and for Tyrone. Mm-hmm. So, I am the hero and the villain.
Okay.
At the same time.
Yeah. Right, right.
And it makes for a very interesting rehearsal.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Now, you know, we were talking about character development and some of the things that each character or cast member has to do to prepare for their particular roles. Talk a little bit about what you do to prepare yourself in the eventuality that you have to take over a role.
Actually knowing the story, number one, knowing the story and preparing as if. Not preparing as an understudy, preparing as a cast member.
Yeah.
That's number one. It's always, because I play sports, man. I play baseball, basketball, and football. One of those things is always be ready. Whether you're a starter or the guy that's coming off the bench, you got to be ready.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I am already prepared for these roles and prepare as I prepare for any other role.
Mm-hmm.
Just apply myself to it and anything, any story or experience I have that relates to this character to create the character.
Yeah. Now, what attracted you to the role that you're understudying for? I mean, obviously, there's the preparation part, but there's obviously an area where you say, you know what, this could be the role that will obviously land me into something even bigger.
Bijana asked me to do the role, number one. She said, you know what, I believe that you'd be perfect for this.
Yeah.
And so I read it, and I said, as I take any role, I'm like, hey, you know what, I can create what it is that you want to be from this story.
Yeah.
So that's what attracted me to it, is a role that I haven't played before.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Peaches, you've had several successful productions. Which of those stage plays would you say established your credibility and respectability as a playwright, as a director, as a producer?
The Devil Thought He Had Me,
mm-hmm.
the one based on my real life story, the one I did previously to this one.
Mm-hmm.
The list.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And why would that be the one that kind of set the standard for you?
Well, one, it was because of not only the writing, but the actors I selected to play the key roles.
Yeah.
They were very believable and they took my direction well. And the story that I wanted to be portrayed, it was, you were there, you witnessed it.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just, it gave me a lot of credibility, not only as a writer, but as a director, because they were just awesome.
Right.
You know, in order for any playwright to be recognized, they have to have the right people to get those words from off of the paper onto the stage and in an excellent way. And they helped me establish that.
Now, your production company is Mayan Productions. One
yes.
of your children is here very
yes.
early in the morning, and it was named after your children. Given
yes.
that you've won some awards, given that you've directed plays,
mm-hmm.
what would be, well, first of all, are you satisfied with where you are as a company?
Oh, every artist will tell you no.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're never satisfied in terms of grateful, yes, but not satisfied, because I want to be, when you say Mayan Productions, I want them to associate that with greatness and to be a household name, to be honest,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
just like Viacom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the new levels that you hope to be able to conquer?
I would love to earn an NAACP Image and Theater Award.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to ultimately go into a larger level of film as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. those type of things are a writer like me, that's a dream.
And Jason, in terms of your career, is there something that you are pursuing outside of this particular play?
Yes.
You know, because some folks are just satisfied with where they are. And it appears to me, at least some of the folks that I've met in Peach's previous plays, they have thought about their long-term goal. So talk a little bit about what you have coming up.
Yeah, I've... She giggled because once we start talking about what it is I do, you'd be like, you know what? Where are you going?
Yeah.
I've done quite a few things and doing quite a few things. Music is out, but I'm also I'm an international host. And where I want to be, just to make it real simple, is I want Ryan Seacrest's spot. I want Carson Daly's spot. I want Wayne Brady's spot. As I want to do television. I want my own shows. I want to rock New Year's Eve, all of that. So that's where I'm
very
going.
Capable.
And that's what I'm working on currently.
And those are big goals. And one of the things that I often say is that when you have a goal, when you have an objective, you have to go after it with vigor and tenacity. And I take that that is something that you're going to do, because taking over Wayne Brady and Ryan Seacrest, those are huge goals, my friend.
Yes. And I can do it.
Amen.
He's currently up for, I think, about 5 or 6 awards right now.
Really?
Yep.
Jason.
Okay. Now,
indeed.
Go ahead.
Nah, I was agreeing with her. I let other people say stuff like that, man. He's like, well, so what? You know what I mean? When I say it, they're like, so what?
But you know what? And it's interesting. You ought to be able to brag about your talents and your skills. And I think too often in our community in particular, we're not willing to brag about what we've accomplished. You know, we celebrate everybody else, but why not celebrate who we are? Why not celebrate our talents and our gifts?
And that's
certainly something that Peach Handa likes to do. Absolutely.
I agree. It's a challenge. It's a challenge between actual marketing your skill and telling people what you do or what you have done, and it's coming out as that and not coming out as look at me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we run into that quite often. Like, if she can run down her resume, or I can run down the resume, but you know, I tell you 3 things, like, all right, moving on to the next. You know what I'm saying? That's awesome. What are you doing right now? You know, that's what people want to know.
Well, Pejana, we have just about 30 seconds left in the show. The list is going to be playing in Winston-Salem. Give us the time.
Well, we're starting out in Winston-Salem. We're currently on tour. Winston-Salem, North Carolina, at the Arts Council Theater, August 23rd. Red carpet is at 5 p.m. and the show actually starts at 7 p.m. For tickets and more information, you can reach out to me at www.pechandadubose.com. That's P-E-A-C-H. ANDADUBOSE.com. Tickets info and other tour dates are listed.
Well, I
come take pictures with B.
It's my first red carpet before a show, so you know.
Well, you know, I attended the other red carpet that you held, and me and my wife, and
the first playwright's ball.
Well, listen, in the interest of full disclosure, I did put together the commercial spot. I just want folks to know that I do production.
He did our voiceover, Jason.
Okay, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Yes,
I played it on a radio show last night. In fact, I have a radio show. I played it last night.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's wonderful. My voice is being heard all around the country.
If you need any voiceover work, contact Ron Holland. He's listed on Facebook, R-O-N. H-O-L-L-A-E.
Big up.
A-N-D.
A-N-D, Ron Hobbs. Or you can reach out to me and I'll connect you to Ron.
Absolutely. Thank you, Peaches.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You, Jason, for coming on via telephone. I certainly appreciate it.
No doubt.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to again thank my friend Peach Handa DuBose, Tony Hightower, and Jason Carey for coming on this morning to talk about The List. Again, for ticket information, log on to www.peachandadubose.com. That's www.peachandadubose.com. KYS.com. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. I also invite you to visit my blog for some insightful and provocative commentary, www.ronhollands.blogspot.com. Today's show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.